When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
So the story of Sonya Massey's shooting in Springfield continues to resonate around the country. 217 texted in to say, for the Sonya Massey issue, they need to follow the trail of why and how that deputy was hired. Well, he was on the Sangamon County Police Force, and now I see that the Reverend Al Sharpton, civil rights attorney Ben Crump, and other activists are expected to hold a media conference at 4:15 before a rally in Springfield today. Or actually, it's going to be in Chicago. The family will gather at the New Mount Pilgrim Church on Washington Boulevard. The plan to address a recent grievance filed by the union representing the sheriff's deputies. The union, according to this story, is asking that the deputy who killed Sonya Massey be reinstated and reimbursed for any lost wages. Now, I need to update this story, at least with this. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council has since said, we have arrived at that final stage of the process where a determination can be made regarding whether or not to proceed with Sean Grayson's grievance. That's the officer. The union has determined that it will not be proceeding any further. So it looks as though they're not going to sort of stand up for his continued employment on the Sangamon County Police Force, which is just kind of amazing anyway, Sheriff's Deputies Force, because you watch that and they immediately fired him. He's been charged with murder. I know that due process is a thing and you need to know the story, but when you watch that, it's almost hard to believe that anybody would stand in defense of what the officer did. And I think we sometimes commingle in our heads these various organizations and acronyms. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police, State Police Lodge President Chris Southwood has issued a statement about all of this. And in fact, he joins us on the phone right now. Chris, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
Just fine, and thank you for having me here. I'd like to clarify something, though. We're the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police State Lodge. You said something about the state police, and although they are a local organization of ours, the Troopers Lodge 41, I am not what you just said I was. I'm the president of the state lodge.
Got it. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police, that's the union representing these. What does that organization mean, Chris? What do you all do?
No, we're a fraternal organization, strictly a fraternal organization. I think it's very important to have the public and everyone understand that the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police State Lodge is an entirely different and distinct organization from the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police State Lodge is a fraternal membership organization that has absolutely no involvement in FOP labor issues and had zero involvement in the Deputy Sean Grayson grievance incident.
You can understand how people get a little confused. FOP appears in both organizations' names, and then you've got sheriffs in city and state and county police or sheriff's deputies. And so it, I think, is a little confusing to the layman. I think at the end of the day, I think it's important just to give voice to anybody that wants to say we have nothing. We do not think that man should be further employed as a police officer. That's your position, isn't it?
Well, that's the position. I understand you correctly from the Labor Council. Like I said, as far as the labor side of this, we're not involved in that in any way, shape, or form.
Understood.
And yes, I mean, it is very, very easy to confuse the two. Listen, I had members themselves calling the State Lodge or texting me or emailing me and, you know, demanding to know why we filed that grievance. Even our members oftentimes don't understand that we're a complete separate organization from the Illinois Fraternal Order Police Labor Council. It's caused us numerous concerns in the past. It continues to cause us concerns. And people, you have to understand that they have the right to use that name based upon a marketing agreement with the National Fraternal Order of Police. We have nothing to do with that. We're not included in the marketing agreement. We have nothing to do with that.
Well,
I can give you the backstory if you want to hear it all.
I don't want to hear it all right now because I do want to hear this, though. What do you all take a position, though, on that police, on that sheriff's deputy?
I think, you know, in our statement, we certainly did. I mean, there's no question the body cam videos that have been released are very disturbing. But I will say the justice system has been moving very swiftly in this case, as it should in any incident involving a fatal shooting. And at this time, the former deputy has been arrested and charged. Now, we're urging the public to let the wheels of justice turn as the system is designed to do so. And obviously, any loss of life, whether it's the hands of a law enforcement officer or anybody else, is a terrible tragedy.
I wonder how it is that Sean Grayson continued to get employment. He had a few part-time jobs and then some full-time jobs. And on the one hand, I thought maybe you could justify his continued employment, even though he had, what was it, 6 different jobs in 4 years or 4 different jobs in 6 years. But maybe that's climbing the ladder of your profession. Or maybe it's just sort of passing the buck. The guy washes out at one agency and then somebody else hires him. All of that to say this, is there a process by which police departments vet potential officers so as to make sure that you don't get somebody who has been problematic with other departments?
Yes, and I think that's something that needs to be reviewed. Again, terms and conditions of employment are something that are handled by, you know, the labor union representing that particular organization. But I think the Safety Act made things certainly made things a lot better when it comes to this specific situation. I think that there has been some questions that are going to need to be answered, specifically, I would say, by the Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, who is really the one that, as per the Safety Act, is responsible for what you're talking about right there. Officer that works for so many different agencies or has worked for so many different agencies. You know, when a new agency or when you go to work as a police officer in Illinois, you transfer agencies. Oftentimes this has to be checked with and really should be, I guess, approved, if that's the lack of a for lack of a better term, by the Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. And, you know, whether that occurred in this process or not, I have no idea. But I think these are questions that absolutely need to be answered and followed up on.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think that's a really interesting point. How is it that, because we've been wondering, is there some clearinghouse? Is there some process by which when somebody says, I want to go work for your police department, that somebody else says, okay, what's your history? Did you get fired from other jobs? Do you have some criminal convictions in your past? Somebody should be keeping track of that. If you're going to give somebody a gun and ask them to uphold the law, who's doing the accounting of these candidates for future positions? There is such an agency or process in Illinois?
Yes, there absolutely is. And it was further established by the Safety Act. It was passed, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And that agency that's responsible for that is the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. And I believe that those questions certainly need to be directed towards that agency.
Huh. Okay.
Because you're absolutely right. I mean, there should be a, certainly should be part of your checklist when you're hiring officers for any agency. I mean, it should be part of a background investigation. I know I'm retired from the Illinois State Police, and they do a very extensive background investigation on any applicant. And I'm sure the application process with them is I know it is, it's very stringent. So and I think the place that law enforcement agencies, when they're doing backgrounds on prospective new hires, the repository, that's certainly one of the places they should be checking with is the Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. Whether in fact that happened in this situation, I have no idea.
You almost wonder if it's hard enough to get officers these days that, I don't want to say the standards have been lowered or they look the other way, but I would imagine it's difficult to staff police departments these days.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is absolutely directly, I think, directly or indirectly a part of this issue. I've said for years, if you think we needed reform, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I think we're going to see a need for it here even more in the future. And the reason why I say that is for that very reason that you just said. I mean, we have law enforcement organizations out there that will put out openings for 5 people and only get 3 or 4 apply. Clearly, I mean, if you look, a lot of agencies are faced with, look, do we hire this person who maybe 5 years ago we wouldn't have hired, or do we just have an empty patrol shift out there with nobody in the squad car? I mean, it used to be where you had 10 positions in a law enforcement agency that were opened up, you'd have 100, 150 people apply for those 10 positions. It is just not that way anymore.
Why is that, Chris?
Well, quite frankly, it's because of the war on police that goes all across our nation. It's very difficult to get people to want to be police officers. I mean, who wants to be police officers anymore?
Yeah. What do you mean by the war on police?
Well, I think that's there's a war on police out there that's going on. I mean, you know, there's a lot of police officers, you know, shot. It's a difficult profession as it is. It's become even more difficult over the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police State Lodge President Chris Southwood on a phone line. Okay, Chris. Anything else you want us to know about your organization's position on Sean Grayson and that grievance?
Just that I just hope people understand, including our own members, understand that we had nothing to do with that grievance.
And it appears that the union has determined that it will not be proceeding any further as well, that whatever that grievance was, asking him to be reinstated with pay, it looks like they're dropping that. So we'll let this process play out in the courts, and I appreciate your time today, Chris.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, John, that officer should not have been fired in the first place. 815 said there seem to be too many police officers with a military background or a history of violence that struggle with diffusing confrontational situations. 269 said, well, why don't we tell the police to stop shooting innocent people and maybe there would not be a war on police? And 773 said, is anyone going to mention what the woman said before getting shot? She said twice while holding a pot, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what she said. I think that teachers fall under the same issue you're discussing with this police officer, John. Bad teachers are shuffled around, not let go. They are rehired by other districts. Someone should keep track of that. Please talk about that as we are heading back to school. Yeah, I don't know what the process is about that, but it's true, frankly, everywhere. Every time a coach gets fired in the NBA, somebody else picks him up. And it's not like they don't know that that guy had a losing record or there was a problem. Every chief of police gets hired by another city. Every school superintendent gets hired by another place. Every priest got once upon a time shuffled off to another parish. It is not exclusive with police officers. But I got to tell you, I was taking notes when he was describing that review board. I did not know about that. I haven't heard that mentioned a lot. When the Mincing Rascals talked about this last week, Austin Berg, who is rather expert about all things policing, was not clear on, is there an agency that before you hire an officer checks what the record is? What's the show me the paper trail on this guy. The Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. I don't know if this story is going to go there, but nobody seems to be reporting on that. But if they would be the check, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it would be the sheriff in charge of the Sangamon County sheriff's deputies. Who's their sheriff in Sangamon County? Or who's his personnel director? That's the person. Somebody said, okay, let's hire this guy. Who was that person? That's what I want to know. You know, it's sort of like I feel about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. So if the head of the Secret Service has to go, and she did, they continue with the hearings, I wonder, is the head of the Secret Service intimately involved in the, you know, TikTok planning of every visit that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and now J.D. Vance have? I mean, think about just those four people who are traveling the country in front of large crowds every single day. Who is like the project manager on the ground for those individual events? So while the buck stops here, okay, the boss has to lose her job. To be honest with you, the person I'm more interested in is, who was it that didn't think to make sure that that line of sight location wasn't covered? Who was the manager on the floor that day? I'll bet the Secret Service, the head of Secret Service, she wasn't flying around to every single venue. You can't be at two places at once. You have two campaigns going at the same time. So I wish somebody would tell me, you know, not macro what the failure is, but specifically, who is somebody else needs to lose their job, right? Hey, John, why don't we tell the people to comply with the police? We're going back and forth on this now, aren't we? Rather than resist the threats from officers. That's the first step. Yep, I totally understand that. I will always be on the side of, if the officer says, get out of the car, or roll down the window, or stop, or put your hands up, whatever the officer says, do it. I know that police officers will give different treatment to different people. Would that woman have been shot, Sonya Massey, if she was white? I think you could make an argument that maybe not. But at the end of the day, if we all just do what the officer says and then take it up in a court of law or sue the officer if they're treating you unfairly, everybody should comply with the police, even if you think the police are wrong, as a matter of saving yourself, right? But if you're standing there in a nightgown and you're just this small person and you have a pot of water, we didn't see the bubbles. We've been told it was boiling hot. The officers didn't get that close to it. But she's got a hot pot of water on the stove there. And then she says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You shouldn't be shot for that. When they say put it down, remember then, if you've watched the video, she then ducks down below the counter. Was she shielding herself because she thought she was going to get shot, or was she disobeying them? I don't know what was going on there. But nobody can watch that video and conclude that the officers did not act wrongly, that that officer should be fired. Of course, John, no one wants to be a cop. Catch and release is the problem. Prosecute. Build more jails! Exclamation point. 1 in 300 Americans is in jail right now. I'm not sure more jails is the solution.